Welcome to this podcast, produced in cooperation between Talent Miles and the Maastricht University. Professor Wim Gijsselaars of Maastricht University, to be more specific. My name is Bo Magnus Salenius, and I say welcome also to my fellow anchor professor at this point. Wim, very welcome to the show. The purpose of this podcast is to explore leadership challenges and phenomena together with accomplished practitioner leaders, and at the same time to attempt to understand these challenges with the help of research on leadership, learning and change, to be, if we put it grandly. We are interested in good stories of practice, aren't we, Wim? This is the idea of our podcast that we have kept going since the years of the pandemic, which are not that far away, but we have continued because interesting things are happening. And you're a professor of learning, and if I'm not, I think when I asked you a few months back, what has changed? Did people learn anything during the pandemic? And I don't know if you had a bad day, but you say no. People didn't learn anything, and organizations didn't learn anything, and leaders didn't learn anything. You didn't say it, to be fair, but it sounded like you were not very happy with the learning. So what was actually going on after that learning experience of 2 years?
And yeah, you probably, I didn't say this, but I might have thought it. And it looks like people are trying to find their way back and getting back to old habits, while the world has been completely changed in my view. And I noticed this with my students who are struggling. I noticed this with my university was struggling, you know, what are we supposed to do? Because during the COVID that we worked in a different way, and that worked as well. So it's a struggle to find a new way of working. And in that respect, sometimes I feel we didn't learn that much. But on the positive side, we are human beings, and I know we can make progress.
What a fantastic start there, Wim. Thank you very much. A new way of working, let that be one of the guiding stars for our discussion today. And I say very welcome to Aleksi Malmberg, the general manager of Helsinki Philharmonic Orchestra.
Thank you so much. Very good to be here.
It's and great to have you, not at least because you have actually a very interesting tale to tell. Not one that is finished, if I understand anything. It's more something ongoing, but things definitely happened during the pandemic, and we are going to take a look back, but also look at what is actually going on now in your view in terms of leadership and where and how do you look at it as a leader and change. And then let's hear the professor then interpret, marry some of these interesting real-time happenings and reality happenings with research and with science, and see what can we maybe understand better and so on. But let's start with a short introduction, really as much as you feel you like to share with us about who you are and where you come from and the background you think is relevant for us to understand.
Yes, well, I've been now working at the Helsinki Philharmonic Orchestra as the general manager for 5 years. And my background is very much overall in music and in arts and in culture in general. Before hopping back to Helsinki, I was living in Brussels with my family, running the Finnish Cultural Institute, helping young mid-career Finnish artists to have their first steps in the Netherlands and in Holland and in Belgium and in Luxembourg. And vice versa, sort of really working on cultural exchange. Mm. And before that, I've done so much around festivals. I was head of program for the Helsinki Festival. We ran a small but really creative chamber music festival in the neighborhoods of Lake Tuusula together with Pekka Kuusisto. I've done some music management. I've been sort of CEO for a small music publishing company. I worked for the city of Espoo. I was general manager for the Helsinki Baroque Orchestra for a short period of time, like 20 years ago. So really overall, after my studies in musicology and sociology in the University of Helsinki, being actively involved in supporting the artists to do what they do best, you know, communicate in a meaningful way about life.
I was going to ask a ridiculous question about how do you see your present engagement with the orchestra and the general being general manager with all of those other engagements, but But I suspect your answer would be that all of these have contributed to make you who you are. But if you would put a sort of headline, what is the trajectory you are on now as a leader? What is this work that you are doing now? Is there a theme? Is there a common theme that you think it's...
Well, there are many themes. As I said, sort of art has been from the very beginning, sort of the foundation, the kind of driving force that sort of gives me the energy that I want to do. And you said earlier about the change being constant. You know, we can now look at 3 years back, 3 years onwards. We can have a sort of certain period of time and see what the change has been. But the orchestra, Helsinki Philharmonic Orchestra, is a 140 years old organization, and it has changed, you know, the whole time. So it depends on the perspective on where do you want to look at. For me personally, the growth as a leader has been from the content towards the people.
Very interesting.
Yeah,
very good.
Because leadership, in the end, it's always about the people.
That's
all. It's nothing else but people. So that's what I've come to realize in only like during the time. I've been working at the Helsinki Philharmonic Orchestra, and it's a constant growth and a constant change for myself as well.
If someone else would say content to people, then that would be okay. Yeah. So you manage to see now that it's pro. But this, when you say content, I think you have a broader sense of content than most of us, with even your background and so on. Anyway, thanks very much for that orientation. Now let's take us all back to a few years back. And when the pandemic hit and struck us all and changed the way we had to work for a couple of years ahead, and actually more and maybe still. So what was it like for the orchestra that when this hit? How would you describe it to outsiders, that moment and those days and where it all started?
So about 3 years ago now, spring 2020. And of course it was, you know, like for everybody, it was a total surprise. It was a, you know, a kind of a hurricane that nothing that you had expected was true anymore. And for an orchestra, we, you know, the way of an orchestra to work is very much in the moment when you're in the concert, in the rehearsal. But at the same time, there is this way of working that you plan ahead 1, 2, 3 years, making sure that, you know, everybody's set on place in advance. So it's very sort of well-structured, very hierarchical way of working in a way. And all of a sudden, none of the plans that we had made 3 years ago were relevant anymore. You couldn't do anything of that. And I do remember the kind of strong sense of uncertainty, because we didn't know how the virus would work and who were in danger and what to do. So we instantly built like a sort of a operations room in our meeting room and called the relevant people from different sections of the orchestra to work. And we sort of established this sort of HOGO or action think tank WhatsApp group to make sure that the people who have something to share, they can have it separate directly there. I think what was relevant for the orchestra that we managed and we wanted to perform and continue playing music every week, which we did throughout the pandemic, no matter what sort of different phases there were, we found a way to do some music, even just with the string quartet, or then with the 20 people's orchestra, or then, you know, depending on the situation, we continued doing what we are existing for. And for the musicians, I think it was very difficult, first of all, because you needed to adjust very quickly and learn very quickly new things and new repertoire, but more profoundly because there were long periods of time when they didn't play for a live audience. You couldn't have like a sense of performing to the people who are there in the hall with you, which is why I believe most musicians at least do the work that they do. They want to communicate music to the people who are present. We did a lot of video streams. And I really raised chapeau to the video team that we had. And, you know, all of a sudden they had to do a video project every week. And before they had done one in a month. So it was a lot of work in the office. And for the musicians, it I think it was sort of, it was a question of identity. It was really like, why do we exist kind of question, very elemental.
So the performing, I perform, therefore I exist.
Yeah, in a way.
I'm, Wim, I'm looking at you and thinking that professor and specialist on education and looking at working with schools and universities and education all the time. It's not a totally different story than from the education, but what strikes me that those long year-long cycles of planning ahead for 2 or 3 years, not even education and the school system is I was going to say that bad, is that structured that and then that well planned. And I remember you saying that when the pandemic struck, the education system, schools basically learned more than they had done in 20 years, or I don't remember, maybe you said 10 years or so. But when you hear this this description of the general happenings, does it ring a bell?
Well, it brought me back a lot of memories. Oh yeah, this is the, now I start remembering again. So because you mentioned the professional identity, and part of it is the way you get connected to the audience. I thought we had a similar experience. The connection was gone when you work with your students. Now you were using Zoom and Teams for this. But you also said something very important to me. You said, I learned that leadership is about moving from content towards people. And I thought, okay, that's what many leaders say to you, that at some moment they come aware that basically leadership is about helping people, and it's no longer about managing the task. But in your kind of profession, that's a very challenging thing. Because how can you manage musicians or lead musicians? It's very difficult for you to have in physical proximity. You have them in physical and proximity with you. So then there's only content left. So what did you do in the sense that you kept the human touch in your work?
Well, first of all, an orchestra is a very particular kind of organization because, as you said, there is, in a normal workplace, you have this like big meetings and this kind of, you know, the structure that you, through which you engage with the people that you work with. But an orchestra, being a very hierarchical, a large, you know, 100 people's hydra, kind of a wild animal that gets together to perform music. And that's the sole task, is that they do music. So there's very little these kind of platforms of communication through speech. So that wasn't like when I started in the orchestra, you know, there are not too many that kind of interactions. You have the individual interaction that you have after concert. You know, I mean, of course, you're there with the people, but the sort of the formal structure of doing the work is during the rehearsals and in the concerts and nothing else. So that's what we started building on. And my predecessors had been working to build on kind of this structure of the other meta level of communication interaction between the organization. When the pandemic hit, I think, you know, a bit paradoxical, you know, in a way, we started engaging more than before because there was not so much of musical work that you could do. The orchestra couldn't be as large. So there was all of a sudden, every musician, of course, they needed to continue practicing, but they had more free time than ever before. And they had a lot of free time and they didn't know what to do with that. And sort of our task together was to find out relevant things that you could do in this new environment, in this new situation. So we built like a Google Excel sheet of a work diary that I asked everybody to fill in openly so that everybody would see the other musicians' task of the day, what they did today. Did they create something? Did they find a way to do a video stream for the audiences or if they started on a new project of composing the work or arranging, or people could do basically different things and then just hoping that by sharing those on a common platform, one would inspirate the other ones as well. And I started sort of doing weekly video messages for the whole orchestra, which I had not done before. And people, you know, we learned using Teams very quickly.
Can you just jumping in there? There's two very interesting examples, aren't they? That I think everybody tested this and that and whatever. But I think what you described there is going very, very deliberately into this Excel sheet, as you say. And so that's actually one interesting thing. But the weekly meetings with the orchestra, what happened in those meetings, just by curiosity, really?
Well, I have to say I love the orchestra, the Helsinki Philharmonic Orchestra. It's a special group of people that once and again you learn when something difficult happens, then the sort of warmth and the sort of support really thrives. And it's always there, but I think it's through evolution that we've learned that when there is a risk, when we are under threat, we need to collaborate. We need to support and help one another. That's the sort of through millions of years as human beings, we learned that. And that's what happened during the pandemic when we got together in a situation that was frightening in a way for everybody. You could really concretely feel the support.
So it brought out
the best. Yes, it brought out the best. And the same happened, you know, when Russia attacked brutally Ukraine and you could really sort of feel that, you know, Earth is shaking in a way that people elevate themselves and the others. And this spring, I mean, a more personal tragedy happened that we lost, surprisingly and all too early, one of our orchestra members, our tuba player, who was, you know, such a character. It was really like one of the pillars of the orchestra, both musically and socially. And he passed away. And it was devastating and it was sad. But the beauty behind that was something quite touching. As a leader, there's an important lesson, because the more independent and the more sort of power you have, the less the evolution sort of tells you to collaborate and to sort of to share and to have the empathy. So the more crucial it is in this position where you are in a secure place, in a way, personally, to make sure that you value this kind of skills of
everything. Did someone tell you that, or did you? Is that something you just sort of?
Well, it is self-evident, but in a way, to phrase it out like this, I realized it on my way here on a bicycle this morning.
exactly. Reflection.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. But it's there.
Just a quick question, follow-up question on that Excel. How have you managed to continue that, building on that freedom somehow that people are and maybe encourage the people to still have projects like that? Because it sounds to me with all the not so well-being going on in today's workplaces as we know, let's not go into that, but I think the statistics are not good in any country. So it sounds like anybody would be better off if he or she would have a possibility of engaging in projects of their own. And then if the employer provides sort of a support for this, so much the better, right? Right. So was it a thing of that?
I mean, it was a kind of trial and error. We used different tools and different times. And it was in the very early phase where, you know, you really didn't know what to do. Mm. So just sort of give freedom to everybody. And just the only question was that please share what you do so that the other ones also know that. And of course, there's also some objections and sort of, is this really meaningful and why do I need to write down that I practiced? We have continued working on the idea that the potential of every single musician is so huge that, and it's so different from, you know, different sections and different musicians to one another, that there is and there should be freedom to bring that out in different ways.
Fantastic.
So, I mean, already before the pandemic, we have a long tradition of having the artistic committee of the musicians helping the chief conductor and general manager to build the season program. But we have the sort of the musicians board who are really actively working to make sure that the musician's voice is being heard in the workplace. But now we found it like, well, the musicians found it. And I just supported that. Yes, go ahead to found a group of people who are really interested in well-being at work. And we meet regularly so that they can develop projects that will help sort of overall a larger understanding of what well-being actually means and where the motivation comes from and this kind of
sort of key questions of how do you make yourself the best possible you are at the work. And, you know, we have a social media team of the musicians who are really wonderful at giving, you know, the presence of the orchestra to the social media in a way that, you know, no communications professional could actually do because it's so authentic, it's so real when the musicians themselves tell about their work and they shoot the videos and they. So there are different ways, but these kind of streams, they really got going, I think partly thanks to the pandemic.
Wim, turning to you, when you hear Alexi just describing that here are the professional musicians who are actually extremely professional in the not any amateur orchestra here, but there's professional people who actually take care of the using social media to communicate with the orchestra and take that. And any industry leader I know would be happy as anything for even. I mean, that doesn't really happen in other organizations, and I can't think of any public organizations either where, or services where that is actually taking place. You truly are a different type of organization. It's interesting to think, is it because of the nature of work being so special, or is it, where does it come from?
I got several thoughts when Alexi was talking. I thought, well, what that it did to me at least was working on finding new structures to give people a sense of belonging to something bigger.
Exactly, yes.
Because you could easily face a situation where people were at home playing their instruments, and after a while you lose the purpose of practicing on that instrument, no matter what you play. And so I think what you essentially was doing was creating new structures and experimenting with that people felt I'm valued for who I am. And therefore, I keep practicing because there will be a day when we return on the work. And where you felt that they belong to something bigger called the Helsinki Philharmonic Orchestra. And so I thought, you have done this in a very creative way.
We have died.
Yeah, you did. And because it's quite something in a sense of, when you look at the field of music, where essentially it's a group of solo players, and then you bring them together and they create something as a collective. The problem is always it's in the moment that you play, then it's there, and you stop playing, it's gone. And you it's very intangible. And so I thought, this sounds like a classic example of what I in science would say inclusive leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And then that brought me to, that's my second observation, to what I saw at the university, where it's basically also a collection of very highly specialized individuals. And then it created coffee moments, virtual coffee moments. Because they also realized, despite being a highly specialized individual, it's if we lose that sense of collectiveness, we're out, we're gone. So therefore, they start doing like this, but you went way further in doing so. And then the other thing I noticed was that it's a trust relationship you need to create, because you also, they have lots of free time.
Mm-hmm.
What I noticed is that in general is that's very difficult for us to manage the other's free time, because that's feeling like we paid them, and yet when are they doing the work? So you were constantly balancing, it looks like, you know, giving them the free time, but you know that they are very passionate about what they want to do. Playing here, and you found your way for this.
This brings me to an observation also in the university setting, where I happen to have a fairly good insight in something, a behavior that has come about now during the pandemic, which is actually getting together. And now there are sessions for students too, but this is not for the students to get their thesis. They write together on Teams or Zoom. Yeah. They sit and work together and look at each other. But there are also for professional researchers these sessions, and they have been immensely popular. So every time they set them up, there's a professor or anybody comes in and says hello guys, let's work for an hour, and I think they go 1 hour or so. And it's, they just sit, nobody talks, they just, everybody sits and works, which sounds, 5 years ago we would have, what will the world come to? But today, I can't help thinking that there are some related, it's sort of a related phenomenon here, being alone, being but together and using the technology then to do it, and even virtually, if nothing else, then, and of course it remains to be seen whether we will go back to actually being, be wanting to be physically in the same space and work, which is really the big problem today of our organizations. It's almost devastating, this debate where one thinks it should we be 2 days present in the office or 3 days in the week, which is ridiculous, and it's a very boring debate compared to these ideas that we're talking about here now, where those that presence and that shared something really has drives something. It has a purpose, apparently.
It has a purpose, and I have to say, thinking about an orchestra, traditionally it's very, the structure is very strict. And the way of working, there's a strong sense of hierarchy, and you know, the tutti players who are there in the big sections, they are doing exactly what is being told according to the composer's music, the sheet music, and the section leader who shows how to play, and then the section leaders, you know, work together, but everybody is in a way always under the conductor who has the interpretation. So. And it's the only way such an orchestra, such a huge mass of creative people could work together. It makes total sense. But it easily becomes sort of, the mistake comes that you start to see an orchestra as a machinery. I always sort of jump back a little when people like compare an orchestra to like a car, like your Berliner Philharmoniker. It's like a Mercedes-Benz of the orchestras. It's not... No, non-orchestra, non-organization is a machine, but it's an organism, and it's, you know, a wild pack of wolves getting together and sort of being together as human beings.
Does that mean also then that what gets produced, pardon my language, what gets produced is actually the event, but like you said, it after the event, it's gone, and the same type of wolf attack or whatever we should compare it to doesn't happen again. There's a difference. It's a different type of a different one. And yes, the wolves will hunt again, but it's a different thing every time we produce something unique.
Yes. And that's why my music as an art form is so elementally describing the change that happens every time. You know, nothing comes back as it was. I think the most crucial thing not to forget is that we also build platforms from them to do music, like already before the pandemic, sort of doing monthly after concert clubs, doing a series of chamber music concerts in all the 37 libraries of the city of Helsinki, together with the musicians every year doing concerts without the conductor, so they just play without the conductor and sort of try to do chamber music as 100 people's group. Next season, with our new artistic leadership team, our principal guest, Rebecca Kuusisto, kind of developed a project where we have a laboratory of 20 musicians who are sort of want to do something in a different way. And they have dedicated 3 weeks together with a choreographer, a dance choreographer, to build a project that we don't even know what it will be like. And meanwhile, the other musicians will do a sinfonietta-sized sort of a classical
music. Fantastic.
So really, the liberty of engaging the potential that the musicians have. Of course, the music is in the core and that kind of platform.
No, what you describe there is, of course, again, comparing to other industries, any businesses or walks of life, those are not small things and drills. Those are actually alternative ways of production.
Yes.
Yeah. If I understood anything. Yeah. And so actually toying with the very substance of what we do, which is I try to think of any other industry or business where it would be that sort of close to people actually doing it, and and allowed maybe even.
Well, isn't even so that in some consultancy companies, it's often sort of dedicated, like 20% of your time to your own culture.
Sure.
I mean,
sure. But what you the difference is that you actually get it to work. I think many would say that those 20% of, unfortunately, you know, this is actually a bit of a pun, but it's not, because it's quite clear, evident also that in very many organizations where there is that sort of setup, it actually is not working very, very well because of the culture and the drive isn't really there, not to speak of the drive from the leaders, leadership, which we can see here in your case, where it's actually encouraged to, it's a big ball, big difference whether you have a system where you can do it and the other where it's actually something that we build.
But it is scary, and it's sort of, it takes a lot of confidence and trust. I mean, like after the pandemic, first real sort of season without these hindrances, I asked that each section gets together 3 times during the autumn to play together or talk together and make sure that they use the time in a wise way for the section. And, you know, some sections had done that nevertheless all the time, and the others had not met each other together in many, many years.
Yeah.
So just sort of giving the platform for them to create something that they find meaningful. I didn't know if it would function or if they would just sort of, and there was a lot of objections, of course, as well. You know, what are we supposed to do? And why don't you tell me what is that, you know, we should be aiming here for? And I asked them to sort of find the aim themselves. And it's an adventure, and we are yet to be seen where it leads. But to me, it really looks like good things are happening. I mean, people are really, really motivated.
Let's finish today in a while. Ask about your role. Want to hear more about your what you see your role and how that is actually changing. But before that, what would you say as a researcher and as an academic working on this?
Yeah. The thing which struck me was the way you can look at music is that the composer has written music, it's laid out in sheet music, and then you're supposed to play it. And ways can differ in the way you interpret it, and that will be it, your job is done. But that provides a highly structured environment. Everything is clear. And what's fascinating for me is that in this highly structured environment, you are creating new ways of working together, despite all those overarching structures. So I couldn't resist the temptation of thinking, what if Finnish railway systems would start working like this? Because you might also say there is a timetable, everything is about logistics and operations, you know, and everything is structured. And then you would say to the engineers, well, let's have a meeting and talk. Well, the response could be, of course, what should we talk about? It's clear what I'm supposed to do. In your case, the response you're saying is it was a little bit similar. What are we supposed to talk about anyways? But it looks to me, what you're getting out of it, that people start experimenting and they feel like, I've never done this before. And maybe that could bring me to somewhere which we even didn't even dream of it could be possible. So in the long run, it looks like your investment is worth a lot, and it could bring you as an orchestra completely new things, which others have never tried about. So that's for me the fascinating thing.
Mm.
Highly structured. And the first response I would expect is that people would say, why would I supposed to do it? Because this is unusual of what I already have been doing. And yet they are doing it. And for professionals, this is a very, I would say, a very unique situation that they do so.
Mm. I have to say that one of the reasons why it works for us is because it is so structured.
Yeah.
So the normal work we do, you know, every single week we do 1-2 concerts. We, you know, there's a very sort of clear production line, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
That, you know, and then you can give freedom to that. But in many organizations, in many, many offices, the work life in itself is chaotic and not structured.
Well, a very good point.
Yeah.
Mm. So now when sort of the basis is so clear, you can give leash. And when working with the people like we work in the orchestra, which is, you know, they are so creative. so wonderful artists, each and every one of them. So those are the elements that sort of allow this kind of thing.
Out of order, and with the help of order, we get creativity.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting also to note that the experimenting with new ways has not gone sort of unnoticed by the audience, and they love it.
Mm.
And I've noticed, because for obvious reasons, with knowing our talks, I've been following also and looking at that reception. So it goes through the ages. So you actually have people apparently 95 years of age or 150 years, and that seem to be very, very interested in this new and embracing the new dialogic type of work or whatever the orchestra is doing. And I know you keep close tabs on this yourself. Alexi, I think if you have given us many, many good closing words already, and thinking, and this order and creativity that should give any CEO or leader listening to us today something to think about, that how creativity actually is born, and the fact that if you are a bit prone to management, don't be worried, don't be alarmed, just add a little bit of the open stuff and keep the order and keep the structure, because it allows us to do interesting things. I think that's a big message. But going further, is there anything that you see that you are going to really, that really makes you tick now, or this is going in a good way, or is there something you want to do as a leader and your own role, and how you want to transform your own role in some particular direction?
Well, I see that we are actually just in the very early steps in this change, and it's the path is sort of starting now with the musicians and with the orchestra, and we don't yet know where it will lead. And I try to keep it as a leader as simple as I can for myself, because, you know, it's complicated and things will surprise, and, you know, we don't know if new pandemics will hit, or, you know, floods will rise, or, you know, it seems like we're living in this biblical kind of times. Anything can happen. So then you need to rely on the collaboration and the people. And for me, what we haven't really talked about, it's essentially about trust. It's about building the trust and building on that trust, and then giving the freedom to people, and then finally making sure that the direction is right. Sort of that the little streams that are, you know, splashing and going all the, you know, different directions, that they are being in different ways through the structures and through motivation and through sort of putting hindrances to, that they are going to the same direction, that the flow is towards the future.
Wow, this was very nice to say. I couldn't agree more, because research would show all the time that if there is lack of trust, you're not even get halfway of where you want to be, and you need trust as a ground condition to get anywhere. So I would like to thank you very much.
Thank you
for a very interesting discussion, and giving us an insight into a world which is, as you describe it, of course, very special, and in its own right, of course, as are, of course, all industries. But this is maybe because there are so many things that seem to be unnoticed, that we don't see them from the outside. Thank you very much for sharing this, Alexi. Thank you, Wim, for this discussion, and we'll be back with more interesting discussions.
Thank you.
Thank you.